It's Mary
and Jenny,
and we came into our identities in our 30s.
This is Queerly,
where we do life in community.
Hello, hello,
hello,
welcome
hello,
back.
Hello.
how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm pretty good, actually.
Good.
I feel like today has been amazing in more ways than I can imagine. Definitely a lot of mental gymnastics.
That's with amazing, a good way to put it.
Yeah, amazing revelation. So I think a pretty good day.
That's good.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm doing really well. Mm-hmm. I think it's just good to connect with you again. And mentally, I feel empowered because of the conversations that we're having. So I feel good. So
it's a good feeling.
Yeah, it is. I know that's not normally how we start, but love checking in.
Right.
But also, I want to hear what your joy is. What's your joy?
Being with friends and having a good time is really important to me. I cannot stress how important that is. It's like really important to me. And so I was inside most of December, pretty much a couple of weeks in January because of the rain. So I'm staying inside mental wards with my thoughts and watching movies and all those things people do alone. But then last week, I had a really fantastic weekend, Mary standards. Friday, I went out for drinks with my workmates. It was good, fun. And then on Saturday, I was out hanging out at a New Year celebration. And then the highlight really for me was my friend's birthday. My friend is really a people person, and so he has all these connections with people, and so he brought so many of us together, so many people that I hadn't seen in a while together, and for me it was so much fun, one, being around people and laughing and bowling and eating food, but also getting into some deep intimate connections and karaoke. It was so good. It was so much fun. It was the merry kind of fun, and I'm just so thankful for that. Yeah. The ability to have friends and the ability to be able to celebrate, and that friend of ours actually loves play and childlike wonder, and so anything that is gonna organize is gonna have that element of play and childlike wonder. And so it was amazing. It brought me so much joy. Yay. What about you?
I like that. That was really fun. What brought me joy? So I've been taking this course that my friend started called Creative Flow Academy. And it's a good friend of mine. And, you know, one of the first things that we do is creating our purpose statement. And for me, and I told you this earlier, but for me, that's very anxiety inducing, because I feel like my purpose statement, I don't know what my purpose is, or it's really hard for me to filter out and really focus on what you feel like fulfills you or what your purpose is, right? Or your mission statement. And so I think in the past couple of weeks, I really started to align more with what that means. I don't need to give into the pressure of like coming up with a purpose statement just to come up with the purpose statement, or like coming up with the why, but instead listening and observing the patterns that have been in my life, the patterns of like why I do the things I do now, and to really align with that. So I just feel really excited, because I feel so much more, I have so much more clarity in how I want to move forward with like this statement, and it aligns with me with where I'm at now. It can change, and it's okay for it to change. But I think that was what really brought me joy, because it made me have a clearer mind in the things that I'm doing. with all aspects of my life, not just work, not just personal, you know, not just within my community. It like aligns across the board. So yeah, so I feel like that was like really exciting for me, and that was my joy this week.
I really like that. I think the deepest joy, I think, for many people is, or something people yearn for, is finding their purpose, and you being in that process of aligning with something that you believe in. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Totally.
Me too. So today we want to talk about squish versus zucchini. To be honest, I just heard about this today for the first time, and I was like, what the heck is a squish, or what the heck is a zucchini? I know zucchini as a vegetable.
Right. Me too. I was like, so, wait, zucchini? But anyway, yeah, I mean, she just had about it a couple of, I don't know, minutes, whatever ago, but you know, for me, it was earlier in the day. And, it's very interesting about language is very interesting because the more it evolves, I think you said something about that earlier.
Yeah.
Could you say that again?
Well, I think before we decided to name this squish versus zucchini, we really wanted to talk about the difference between sexual attraction versus romantic attraction.
Right.
Because I feel like we're still learning a lot too. So something that I had like read in an article that I was looking at, it said, language will never suffice to describe the human experience because it's much too vast. But the more words to have to choose from, the more likely we are to find something that fits.
That's,
and
like,
that resonated with us so much because
mic drop.
All of these words and these terms that we're continuously learning, it just provides more words for people to describe their human experience.
Right.
And so for us, we want to talk about sexual attraction versus romantic attraction.
And then we'll find zucchinis. Yeah, and then zucchinis, like, and squishes. And okay, so I'll be honest with you. In like my personal life, I feel like I have a zucchini. And so I was doing my research, like, you know, reading about asexuality, attraction, romantic orientation, like what all these are. And as I think I was reading an article from a university page, like, you know, they, you know, outline different things. And at the very end of that article, I found something, the concept of queer platonic relationship. And so I read what the definition was, and I was like, wait, I'm actually in a queer platonic relationship, mm-hmm, with someone right now.
Can you?
She's my zucchini.
Yeah. Can you define
so
that?
So a queer platonic relationship, a QPR, is a non-normative relationship. It's not a romantic relationship, but it's also not properly or adequately expressed by friendship either. So
it's more than platonic.
It's more than platonic, more than.
But not, it doesn't, but fall in line with the traditional
romantic relationship. Yeah, so
that
it's,
you
it's,
might think about.
Yeah, and so people of any sexual or romantic orientation can do QP relationships. And the relationships may or may not involve anything sexual. Right now, the relationship I'm in, my QP, there's no sexual, we don't share any, there's
sexual,
no sexual,
or not,
at this point.
Yeah.
It really isn't there. There's nothing sexual at the moment. Mm-hmm. We haven't defined it that way. But it's very intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been ongoing for a while. And when I read this definition, I was like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. Because people would ask me, are you dating? And I'll be like, no, we're not dating. But everything you're doing is dating. Like, mm-hmm, you talk every day, and, you know, you have all these moments where we like are emotionally giving to each other or being there for each other, yeah, in different ways. But when I read this, I was like, oh my God, she's my zucchini and I'm her, yeah, zucchini.
But what do you know why it's called a zucchini? Why that's slang?
I wish I could. We should find out. I do not know why it's that slang, but that's definitely
wait. Let's
something we could dive. Yeah, we'd dive into.
Why? It says, the term queer platonic relationship was first documented on December 24th, 2010. And it was found online and caught on to help describe the desire for an aromantic type of relationship that lives apart from the binary categories of romance and friendship.
I didn't realize it had been around for that long, and I only discovered it a couple of hours ago.
Yeah. Calling your QPR partner a zucchini originally started as a joke in the A-spec community because they were looking for a word to properly describe their significant other. The joke was that they could call each other anything, including zucchini. So the term just stuck around.
I think it's pretty cool.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, I think it's really cute. But yeah, so we landed on queer platonic relationships today. And for me, it makes so much sense because I've been going through the motions of all these things and I couldn't define it as a romantic relationship because really it wasn't. But then also it was deeper than a friendship because we made a lot of time for each other, like intentional time. But then in the process of also discovering QPRs and zucchinis, then there was also squish. And I was like, squish sounds so squishy, like, yeah, you know,
it's
huggy.
It's so cute.
Yeah, it's really cute. And for a squish, I think it's like a platonic crush. A platonic crush on someone. And I thought that that was very interesting because we definitely do have platonic crushes on people. Like there's this person you see and you're like, I really want to be that person's friend or I really want to talk to that person. But it's not, you know, it's not romantic. It's not like sexual attraction. It's just purely a platonic kind of of crush.
It's a desire to have an intimate relationship with someone that can go beyond what a traditional friendship looks like. So like deep friendships and like, yeah, like deep.
Wait, are we talking about a squish or a zucchini?
Yeah. It says having a squish is like having a crush. It's a desire to have an intimate relationship with someone that can go beyond what a traditional friendship looks like. So it's like
interesting.
All very like similar to each other.
But different too.
But different.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was thinking like squishes. I've had squishes on all my friends, you know, like where you just want to get to know them more or want to like build that deeper friendship with or relationship with, but it's like not the traditional, it's just like a really deep friendship.
And it's so interesting that we're talking about a squish and a zucchini today. And I think earlier on when we talked about seasons, I think one of our intentions was to lean into our friendships. Okay, for me, it was really to be intentional about loving with my friends and being vulnerable with them and feeding into those relationships and actively pursuing and dating my friends. And it's so funny that like now I'm finding out things like a squish or a crush or a QPR. It's very interesting. But this all came from wanting to talk about what really is sexual attraction and what really is romantic attraction. And I think before exploring my identity and being comfortable in my identity, I never really used to think about this. I think in my head, sexual attraction and romantic attraction seemed one and the same thing, but really they're not at all. And that was surprising for me.
Do you want to describe each of them?
To describe romantic or...
And sexual attraction.
And sexual attraction. All right. So sexual attraction, what I found out was it's a kind of attraction that makes people desire sexual contact or sexual interest in another person. And that's just about it. It's just sexual. And then romantic attraction is that kind that makes people desire romantic contact or interaction with another person. And so usually this, you know, romance involves this whole, you're dating, intentional, intimate conversations, holding hands, cuddling, you know, the whole thing. And I was like, okay, this is very interesting. So I can actually have a sexual attraction for someone and not have romantic attraction for them. Or I can be actually romantically attracted to someone and not be sexually attracted to them.
Mm-hmm.
And
just a reminder that feeling sexually and or romantically attracted to someone means different things for different people.
Okay.
Yeah. So exactly what you were saying, like for you, you know, you can feel sexually attracted to multiple or all genders.
Right.
But only like desire to date certain genders.
Right.
Or like you just want to hook up with someone, but don't want anything more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or you're into someone but don't want to get physical with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really different for different people, but that's why there are all of these terms to describe your experience.
Right.
Because it is different. We haven't normalized these types of relationships or had the words to describe it. So then our default is like heteronormative relationships.
Right. Which also really don't even exhaust how heterosexual people feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure, because, you know, diving into attraction, like trying to understand sexual attraction and romantic attraction, I came across other kinds of attraction that I'd never really given a second thought to, like aesthetic attraction, where someone appreciates the appearance or beauty of another.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay. And then sensual attraction, where you interact with others in a tactile, non-sensual way, like hugging or cuddling. And I was like, oh, yeah, that does exist. And then I was like, emotional attraction, which is the desire to get to know someone, mainly as a result of personality. And this can either be platonic, or it can be romantic, or it can be sexual, but it's an attraction. And then there's intellectual attraction, which is a desire to engage with another person in an intellectual manner or conversation. And this has mainly to do with how somebody thinks. And then I was like, oh my God, it really does make sense. Different people feel different things at different times.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I feel like these people I've probably been intellectually attracted to. I'm just like, I like the way that, like, I just want to talk to them because they're just dropping
their minds.
Yeah, they're just dropping gems of wisdom. But maybe I don't share an emotional connection or a sexual connection, but like their mind just drives me wild.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have experienced that
personally. I think learning about these different types of attractions make me understand more why I feel a certain way with certain people and not just think of, I think earlier I said like heteronormative relationships, but really it's just like the idea of heteronormativity in general, right? I've only had that lens to look at. So it was hard for me to describe how I felt with certain people who maybe I'm not in a relationship with, but there is some sort of attraction that I have towards them, but not having all of the attractions for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then this also includes asexual people who don't feel a sense of sexual attraction, but enjoy having romantic relationships with others.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a whole nother spectrum. Yeah. Or like demisexual,
right,
where you only feel sexual attraction when you feel romantic attraction.
And like maybe is it biromantic? Did I get that right?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh yeah, biromantic, yes, for like two genders.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the aromantic, which is one, same. Then there's heteroromantic, homoromantic, panromantic, polyromantic. I know I'm going too fast, but it's just, for me, it's very beautiful, just like going back to what you discovered when you were reading about language.
Yeah.
The more there is, the more you're likely to find something that actually fits you. So you can imagine like 50 years ago, asexual people, is it 50 years ago? The word didn't did it exist 50 years ago? Okay, let me say 100.
I'm not sure.
Okay, I don't know. let me go with like 150 years ago. I don't think people were using asexual at all. And so I guess that people that were asexual didn't feel like maybe that maybe they felt they didn't quite fit in like maybe gay.
Yeah.
At that time. And I think that's the beauty of the world ever revolving. And I like we've always said before in our podcast, like the people that fought before us, that, you know, the people that, you know, demonstrated or were really activists in trying to find a voice for the LGBTQ people. But also thanks to the people that keep on doing that continuous research. And for me, it's very beautiful to like, I'm telling you, in the morning, I was like, oh my God, I'm in a queer platonic relationship. And it felt, it made so much sense to me. People would be like, are you dating? And I'll be like, no, we're not. But
now you can say that. No, you are.
No, we're not. We're in a queer platonic.
But yeah. But that is like a term to define that now.
Right.
And not necessarily dating in your traditional form of thinking of what dating is.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. It like going back to the language and stuff, the article was saying that knowing these words or labels to express your sexuality, it can help you communicate your needs and experiences more specifically. But it's good to want to understand someone's like sexual identity. It's more imperative to give people space and support to define their experiences for themselves.
Mic drop.
So even if you know all of these terms, you can't say that they're this. I think that's for like the individual to figure out themselves, right? And to explore.
True. That's for them. I'm going to ask you like some random questions and you okay. don't have to feel obliged to answer. But I'm just curious. So do you feel sexual attraction for your partner?
Yes, 100%.
Do you feel romantic attraction for your partner?
100%. Before, I mean, that is why I know I'm queer. Because this was before I can identify myself as queer. Is I had both attractions to my partner.
Thanks for being honest. But that's beautiful though. Like to find someone where you feel the sexual attraction, you feel the romantic attraction, maybe emotional attraction, intellectual, all the attractions anyway.
But then also it goes back to not everyone has to have both or all attractions.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for me, I need those attractions for my relationship. And I think that's why it works because, you know, it's, and I really, when we start having guests, I really want to talk to folks who are on all of these different spectrums because I want to learn.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. I want it's to like learn from
queer. So we can have conversations with people that actually experience the
or who
spectrum
are asexual,
yeah,
or who are aromantic. Oh, like trans. I want to learn more,
yeah,
because I know very, very little right now. I mean, as you can see, Mary and I have done little research, so we don't know too much about this. This is just part of our learning process and what we're curious about.
But it's very intriguing though, because I'd hear people talk about it, and I think somewhere on a TikTok or a reel on Instagram, and I don't quite remember the details, but I remember someone saying that this was someone who identifies as a woman. I remember them saying that they feel sexual attraction to the men or males, but they are only able to get that romantic attraction to women. And I found that very interesting.
Were you thinking that you needed both?
I need both.
Yeah. But were you, when you saw that, did you think it confused you because your need for both is what?
It definitely confused me because for me it used to be two things that go together, or at least the way I understood it and the way I was raised and the different interactions that I had. It was very hard for me to separate the two because I always felt like sexual attraction went with romantic attraction. Yeah. But I think even like right in my personal life if when I get into a long-term relationship, I'm gonna need both. I like both attractions are important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so at that time I was really confused but intrigued.
Yeah,
because it's like, this is very different.
Yeah,
I don't even get it. And also understanding that sexuality is really a spectrum, but also within sexuality you can look at the different orientations.
Yeah,
gender, attraction, it's all very intriguing and almost mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
And it makes, I feel like that's what makes life, because I think just being in the, looking at things in the heteronormative way is, while it has worked in the past.
But it didn't work for everybody in the past.
It just feels like it was boring because there wasn't a rainbow. Anyway, that's just me mm-hmm. trying to be poetic. But
I got you. Snaps.
But yeah.
What?
It's an interesting concept.
It's very interesting. What would your, I know we wanted to keep this, you know, very lighthearted. What would your queerly noted be for today's episode from like all of these learnings? I mean, I don't know if you can tell, but we are still very new to this topic. That's why it's hard for us to find the words to really describe or talk about it. So after everything that we've learned, whether it's today or the past week, what is your queerly noted that you want to leave our listeners with?
Don't be so quick to define your relationships, because you might be in a queer platonic relationship that is like very centered, like self-centered, but really don't be so quick to define a relationship
with
somebody.
No, like with your conditioned thoughts, right?
Yeah,
like preconceived notions,
bro.
Because I think you're talking about like those who are,
that's true,
just using what they've always known to define a relationship. Yeah. And not being open to all of these other types of attractions and orientations, because that we're just learning about.
Yeah, because it might not look as like what you are conditioned to believe. That's my queerly noted. Nice. What's yours?
I think my queerly noted is just how much I don't know about this and I want to learn more. I think it's so beautiful that I really resonated with saying, or with the line about how language will never be able to describe the human experience. Fully. Because the human experience is too vast. I love that because it's so true. But the more words we have to choose from, the more likely we are to find something that fits. I think that's my queerly noted, because it's so beautiful and it explains why we have so many words to describe all of these experiences now.
That's really deep. Mic drop.
Great episode. Great topic. Let us know if you want to hear more. Let us know if you identify as any of the orientations that we had talked about, because I would love to learn more from you.
Till next time.
We love you.
If you want to support Queerly, follow, rate, and leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice.
We would love to hear from you. So please reach out to us at hi.queerly@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at Queerly Community. That's QUEERLYQMUNITY. Love y'all.